It was our ninth day in Egypt, and our family was having the trip of a lifetime. So much to see and do, so many memorable moments, and the people were so friendly, we felt both safe and welcome. Until, that is, day 9 in Luxor. We wanted to take a horse and buggy ride through the ancient city. We found a driver, who seemed like he'd be a great tour guide. We agreed on an amount, and had just one special request. No surprise stop at his cousin's papyrus shop, please. We were onto that routine, and it was getting a little old. He promised, and we were off on our adventure. The first part of the ride was absolutely amazing. The narrow streets were full of character and color. Our digital camera was getting a serious workout. But then, sure enough, our driver had this idea. His brother's alabaster shop had some really good deals. We'd seen enough alabaster for one lifetime already. We said no thanks, but our driver took offense. And the price of our trip suddenly went up dramatically. We said he was being unfair. He said we could find another ride. Suddenly we were on foot in a twisted maze of narrow alleys, a place where we'd not yet seen a single tourist's face. We knew that if we could just find the Nile River, we could find our hotel. But which way should we go? And why did it seem that every person in Luxor was suddenly staring at us? Suddenly I found myself becoming aware of certain things. Things like those concerned looks on so many of our friends' faces when we told them where we were taking our kids over winter break. Things like the total absence of other American tourists in Egypt. It was strange, we'd seen only 2 other Americans in 9 days. And things like the fact that the U.S. had just recently invaded Iraq. In fact, the invasion was only a few months old. And there was plenty of anti-American sentiment all over the world. So we walked. And I felt something I'd not felt in a very long time. It was fear. I was afraid for my family, and very much on guard for whatever might happen next. I'm Jeff Hoyt. Welcome to Hoytus Interruptus. My wife and I have traveled together for 30 years, and over that time we've never really experienced fear. Oh sure, we were once attacked by roving gangs of youth in Thailand, but the weapons they used were toy water cannons. They were celebrating Songkran, their annual water festival. We were armed with a gallon or two of liquid ammo ourselves, and gave as good as we got. Just all part of the fun. For us, international travel has never been anything short of a joyride. In Istanbul, for instance, we walked the streets near the Grand Bazaar late into the night, and the only thing that surrounded us was Turkish hospitality. We explored Fort de France on Martinique, after being told that there were thieves and bandits about. Yet we met only smiling children and friendly locals. Fear has just never been part of the equation, until that day in Luxor.
I've always thought to myself, caution keeps you aware, and fear keeps you away.
Willie Weir has ridden his bicycle on 4 continents. He's explored India, South Africa, the Balkans, Thailand, Turkey, Cuba, New Zealand, and Central America. He sends essays and stories from the road and then comes home and tells of his adventures to packed auditoriums all over the country. Willie arrived with his bike in South Africa just 6 months after Nelson Mandela became president. Now, politically, the country was still very much in a state of transition. Yet Willie's route would take him through the Cape Province and into the former homelands of the Transkei and the Siskai, areas that he was being told were not at all safe.
I was told by people on a daily basis, and not one a day, I'm talking 5 a day, 10 a day, a dozen, that if I, as a white man, crossed over into those areas, that I was a dead man. And if enough people tell you to be afraid, after a while, I mean, I couldn't sleep at night, and I was coming up, I was scared.
Still, Willie pressed on toward a little town called Yugi.
The only reason I was going to Yugi was that there was this little tiny squiggly line on my map, and it was the squiggliest line that was on my South Africa map. And I just adore squiggly lines. I mean, adventure is somewhere on that squiggle.
As he crossed into the Transkei, a pickup truck pulled up next to his bike.
It was this old black man. His name ended up being Milton. So he spoke Xhosa, but also English. And he had his son there. And this old man named 80, 83 years old. And just this little tiny bit of gray hair on the top of his head. And he pulled up and asked me, well, where are you staying? And I said, I don't know. And he pointed out to his farm way off in the distance. And he said, you see that there? He says, that you can stay there.
Willie got himself a bath and then shared a meal with Milton and his son. The next morning, the old man wandered out to Willie's tent. He had a very strong opinion about Willie's itinerary.
Milton walked down, he bent down, and he pointed off into the distance. And he said, You
see those mountains? Those mountains over there? That is Yugi. You do not want to travel on that road. There are naughty boys on that road.
And I looked up at Milton through my tent and my mosquito netting, and I said, Milton, what do you mean by naughty boys? And he said,
they'll slit your throat.
And I said, wow, Milton, you know, on my own personal naughty scale, I mean, slitting somebody's throat ranks, I mean, that's an 8.5 at least. I mean, that is up there. And he goes, no, Umtata. Umtata is the place for you. And immediately, and what was so funny about this is that Umtata is the largest city in all of the Transkei. And if I was going to get mugged, it was going to be on the streets of that city. And what's hysterical is that here I was in the Transkei, I'd gotten over, I was being treated incredibly well. And now here was this man who was afraid of the next village over the hill. And that's what it's all about. I mean, fear is about the unknown.
Nothing bad happened during or after Willie's journey along the squiggly line to Yugi, and while some might point to his upbeat personality for keeping him out of harm's way, Willie himself credits the bike.
There's something about a bicycle with panniers or saddlebags, a bicycle with stuff on it, that says, I am on an adventure. And people love adventure. And most people don't ever get a chance to go out and have their own, so if they can vicariously be involved in one, man, that's fabulous.
Willie's book, Spoke Songs, Bicycle Adventures on Three Continents, can be found on the web at willieweir.com. Now, where were we? Oh yes, Luxor. As we walked through the narrow, crowded streets and alleys, all eyes were on us. And I just got more and more uncomfortable, yet I couldn't come up with a legitimate reason to be concerned. Our trip up to that moment had been magical. So why was I feeling fearful? My wife, Cindy, said later that maybe it was because it wasn't just the two of us there on the streets of Luxor. We had our kids with us, If anything happened, I'd have to think quickly and do something. And frankly, I have no history of daring Hollywood-esque escapes from peril. Never quite pulled off one of those slow-motion, gravity-defying martial arts moves. So we walked. And within seconds, a jovial gentleman with no agenda, beyond his own generosity of spirit, took us under his wing and showed us the way back to the Nile. My sense of fear had lasted about 45 seconds. When I checked in with the family later on to see if they'd gotten the same weird vibe I'd received, they looked at me like I was nuts. No, it felt like an adventure, they said. This coming from the same kids whose friends had predicted that they'd be kidnapped into slavery and sold for camels during our trip, which I placed squarely on the media's doorstep. I mean, I'm pretty sure that CNN didn't break in earlier in the week to report that an American family was having a wonderful time in Sharm el-Sheikh sipping hibiscus tea with the Bedouins on the Sinai, only to later swim with a manta ray along the edge of a stunning coral reef in the Gulf of Aqaba. No, the next time Sharm el-Sheikh would make it to CNN came 17 months later, when a hotel in the resort town was attacked by a suicide car bomber. For days, the media kept tabs on the mounting death toll, and Sharm el-Sheikh's tourist trade will not likely recover for years. Those are the images that pierce our consciousness. Those are the images that keep Americans away in droves. For us, we'll hold on to our own images, like venturing down more than 250 feet inside one of the Great Pyramids of Giza, or staring up at dozens of massive 50-foot columns in the Temple of Karnak, or watching a felucca boat sailing down the Nile in front of silhouetted palm trees and a caramel sunset.
Caution keeps you aware and fear keeps you away.
I want to thank Willie Weir for joining us. We'll hear from him again after his current cycling adventure through Southeast Asia. That's it for this edition of Hoytus Interruptus. To hear any of the other shows, search Hoytus in the iTunes Music Store or go to Hoytus.com. I'm Jeff Hoyt. Thanks for taking the time.
Through all the days that eat away, and every breath that I take, through all the nights I have lain alone, dream awake. All the words in truth that were spoken, that the wind has blown away. Oh, it's only you that remains with me, clear as the light of day. Up to his father.